and that's why he made himself into a position and a job that creates endless dollars, because he's meeting the needs of people. But the real issue around procrastination is really discipline, self-discipline. So I decided to kick off 2008 on my first call with what I consider, when people say, Mary Jo, what's the number one characteristic of a human being for success? And I'm going to suggest that, you know, I talked about belief, really having belief in yourself, but having belief in yourself really comes from self-discipline, because that's what's going to create the belief in yourself. I think to just try to work on believing in yourself without implementing self-discipline, I don't think that's possible. I think self-discipline has to be the core foundational factor to help people build that belief in themselves. Are there people out there that have very little discipline that believe in themselves? Oh, absolutely. And you meet them every day of the week, probably. There are people that you would define perhaps as somebody that's kind of fly by night. You're not sure. They're not, you know, you don't necessarily want to depend on them, but they have great personalities and they just love to just go out and be, they're kind of go-getters, but not a lot of structure, systems, or whatever in their life. And don't ask them to do something for you, because you may not get a commitment from them, but they won't follow through. So there's that kind of person that still can achieve success purely on personality. But the issue here is not, you know, maybe we're not the extrovert that everybody thinks we need to be in Mavitech. Maybe we're not, you know, and I constantly have people ask that question. By the way, there's a great article in Network Marketing Times on introvert, extrovert as well. And maybe I'll just copy it and make it available to you guys. But you don't need to be an extrovert. But self-discipline, to me, is still that underlying characteristic that without that, it's very hard to achieve success in your life. And I kicked off the outline today. It really comes from a training. I did a training last year around self-discipline. Not that I perceive myself as somebody very lacking in the area, although I always think no matter where you are in life, there's always room for improvement, always. And I always still come with that beginner's mind. Open my mind, Lord. Allow me to be open and ready for a greater understanding. It's actual scriptural, so you can go in there and find it. But the idea is to get greater understanding. So I opened my mind to learn new things. So I took a class from Brian Tracy around self-discipline. It was awesome. And a lot of the material in today's outline comes from that class that I took. But Brian says, and for those of you who don't know Brian Tracy, he's just an incredible self-development guy, motivational speaker, just incredible. He's been around for years, helped the network marketing industry in a zillion ways. He says your ability to develop the habit of self-discipline will contribute more to your success than any other quality of character. It's a huge statement coming from a man of his caliber, Brian Tracy. So we looked at where are some other great quotes that are out there in terms of self-discipline. And I listed a bunch of them under one in your outline today. Cobb Kopmeyer, who's a noted success authority, he discovered thousands of success principles, published 4 books. And in response to the question of which principle you consider the greatest, he said, the ability to make yourself do what you should do, when you should do it, whether you feel like it or not. And when I read that quote, it brought back memories of going through some self-development seminars where I think it was the Clemmer work that I did, where he talks about what is leadership, what's the definition of leadership. And one of the definitions of leadership that came out of that, and I'm not sure I have it perfect for you, but it goes something like this. A leader is a person who gets other people to do what they wouldn't otherwise have done, but which is in their best interest. In other words, what's something they wanted to do. But you as a leader are getting people to do what they otherwise would not do. So it even ties into leadership. So leadership is very much surrounded with the concept of helping induce self-discipline in people so that they create the things that they're committed to creating. Napoleon Hill, of course, we know his story about Think and Grow Rich and the phenomenal amount of research he did. He concluded that self-discipline is the master key to riches. Wow, these are huge things. Tom Hopkins, who's great in the sales field, he's a famous sales trainer, said success is tons of discipline. Jim Rollins, we know him. Discipline weighs ounces, but regret weighs tons. And then Edward Banfield from Harvard concluded, long-time perspective was the key to upward social and economic mobility in America or anywhere else in the world. So you can see over and over and over again, and I even put Rich DeVos, I'm not sure I pronounced his name right. DeVos, the founder of Amway, he once said that there are lots of things in life that you don't like to do, like prospecting, selling, and building your business in the evenings and weekends, but you do them anyway. so that you can do the things that you really enjoy later on. So if we look at self-discipline itself, self-discipline is about self-control. It's about self-mastery. And Brian Tracy calls it the ability to have dinner before dessert. In other words, what you're doing is you're putting off self-gratification for what? For long-time success. So you're saying, what's important to me today isn't that I have self-gratification this moment. What's important to me today is that I build on what I have so down the road I can have anything that I want, so I can totally enjoy my life down the road. So what's the cost of self-discipline? The cost truly is forfeiture of self-gratification day in and day out. In other words, you're willing to do things you don't want to do. You would rather have more fun. You'd rather go and do something else. But you're willing to forego pleasure, forego your immediate gratification, because you see self-discipline is awesome. It's off the charts. And we're going to see that as we work through the 9 most critical areas of your life in terms of self-discipline. But the incredible thing about the benefits is the payoff to you occurs absolutely immediately. Whenever you discipline yourself and force yourself to do the right thing, whether you feel like it or not, you will like and respect yourself more. Your self-esteem increases, your self-image improves, your brain releases endorphins, which make you happy and proud. You actually get a payoff every time you hold your own feet to the fire. Now, if I asked you to just look at your life and come up with something you did in the last week that exhibited total self-discipline, how many of you could come up with an event in your life and then look at how you felt afterwards? Does anyone have an example of that in their life that they want to just share? Could you take yourself off mute? What did you do in the last week that exhibited total self-discipline? In other words, something you necessarily didn't want to do, but you had stuck to it, held your feet to the fire, and how did you feel after you did it?
Hey, Joe?
Yeah.
This is Mary Metzger.
Hey, Mary, go ahead.
We moved into a new house last spring, and it had all these window treatments, these shutters type things, blinds.
Mm-hmm.
And every time you pull them up, on the bottom, it had this great big orange sticker. And, you know, do not let your kids get caught in the, you know, the thing that pull the blinds up. And they just drove me crazy. And I had about 20 of these blinds, and they were on there like you would not believe. And I looked at them and looked at them. And I said, I am going to take these off. I don't care what it takes. So all Saturday, it's all I did. And you had to put this glue stuff remover on and then go back and scrape and then go to the next window. I mean, it took me 8 hours.
Yeah.
But by the end of the day, I was the happiest kid in the world that I didn't have to look at orange stickers anymore.
Hey, isn't that incredible? Yeah. Great example, Mary. It's terrific. Yeah. And I guarantee you, it's amazing, because you thought to yourself, you went through this treacherous thing, you'd put it off for ages because you looked at it like an overwhelming task, which we tend to do when we see something that's a little overwhelming, or we don't see the time, we don't see where we have time to do it. That's our biggest problem. Instead of just doing it, like the Nike ad says, just do it. And she finally tackled it on Saturday. It took her 8 full hours, so she probably wasn't happy as she was going through each of those hours that she struggled through all that. But at the end, the endorphins went crazy. And that's exactly what happened, right, Mary? Weren't you just ecstatic?
Zach, I really was.
I know. And did my doctor just give me a bottle of Prozac or what, right? I mean, it's incredible how you, and it's that's what self-discipline is about. It really is about, you have this instant reward that makes you so high as a kite because you're so ecstatic. The job is done. You finally conquered it. You overcame it, and we get rewarded. But the incredible thing about our lives is that even when we go through these experiences, and I would virtually guarantee you, everyone on this call probably could relate to that experience in some way, shape, or form with something that happened to them in the last week. But the nature of our beings is those experiences are so short-lived. It's like, we have this great experience, we have this high, we have these endorphins going off, we're ecstatic, we're so happy, it's exhilarating, and then, like, the next week we forget about it, and then, so we start our procrastination techniques again, instead of exhibiting self-discipline, and it's really incredible. It's like, wait a minute, time out, Look at the reward you can have. Why are we not doing that? Excuse me for a second.
Lydia, you've got to stop it. Lydia.
Okay, I just got racket going on in the house. Sorry. So anyway, so I think you just, everybody's just got to get a grip on this, that that's what you want to do every day of your life, is to really step into that self-discipline. Find the things you least want to do and say, you know what, how will I feel like after I do it? And then stick your head out and just get it done. Just do it. And that's what it's about. It's about the reward of self-discipline being immediate. And I'm going to suggest to you, as you'll see as we go through the rest of the training, that as you discipline yourself to get those things done and do them in quick order, in other words, don't put them off till tomorrow, get them done. You'll have the feeling of that exhilaration of accomplishment. But the other aspect of self-discipline in your life is the more you adopt it on a daily basis in things you do, the more it becomes habitual in your life. And you will start creating things that are just outside the realm of what you could have conceptualized, because now you will be establishing it as a habit. Self-discipline as a habit is incredible. How it can support you in creating phenomenal results, I don't even want to go there. It's beyond your, what I'm trying to suggest to you, it's beyond your belief. It's beyond what you can conceptualize. And you'll start creating things that you not even can possibly understand you are capable of doing. Okay? So everybody got that? So great news. So again, that beautiful thing about endorphins and just continuing to support you is just a terrific thing to do. So next, let's go to the next thing. We want to talk about 9 different disciplines that you can develop that will improve every area of your life. And again, what I just mentioned turns out to be true, that every exercise of self-discipline strengthens every other discipline at the same time. Just as every weakness in self-discipline will weaken you in the other disciplines as well. So there's a price you pay by not exerting self-discipline. And it's not just about the item that you're not disciplining yourself to do. It's about how it robs from you the habit. It depletes and it deters you from having self-discipline in other areas of your life. And you can watch that happen, too. A lot of us can look back at our last couple weeks and go, oh, boy, I can see that because, you know, I put off taking this Christmas present back, and then I didn't do this, and then I just decided to hit the couch and watch about 4 days of football, and, you know, all of a sudden, you know, it kind of like snowballed into I got nothing done. Here I had all these plans, and I got none of it done. And really, it was the thing that was the biggest downside for that whole 4 days for you was your first decision to not do that one thing. And that snowballs into creating just the ease of not doing everything else. Does anyone want to give me an explanation of how that might define what happened to you over the last couple of weeks? Anyone have an experience around that? No one wants to admit it? That's okay. Okay, you don't have to tell me. But the beauty of it is that we know what happens. We can all look at our life where, you know, it's that first decision. And typically some of those decisions come right out of the box first thing in the morning. You know, you get up in the morning, you sit and you decide, oh, I'm just going to sleep in for an extra hour today because it's rainy outside. Whoops. Watch what happens the whole rest of your day. That one decision to sleep in an extra hour because it's a little overcast can cause you to lose 50% of your productivity out of that day or more. So watch out for that. One little decision about self-discipline or lack thereof will weaken all the other disciplines in your life. Okay, so let's talk about the 9 most important discipline areas. And this comes, again, Brian Tracy is the one that isolated these. He says, here are the 9, and I love them. I love each and every one of them because I think they are so critical. And you could actually do a training on each single one of these because they're all very, very critical and all very important. But we're going to go through all 9 of them this morning. The first one is the discipline of clear thinking. And Thomas Edison is a guy that said one time, he said, thinking is the hardest discipline of all. Thinking is the hardest discipline of all. Isn't that amazing? Because all of us think, oh, I'm thinking all the time. Oh, time out. Let's analyze this and take a real hard look at it. It has been said that there are three types of people. There are those who think, which is a small minority. There are those that think they think. Then there are those who would rather die than think. I thought that was kind of cute. So three different times, where do we fit into those kind of categories? We have to start looking at that. So the important thing is that we need to take time to think through critical issues and problems in our life. We have to put aside long, unbroken chunks of time. Sometimes you say, well, Mary Jo, I thought about it. And I said, how long? And they go, oh, about 30 seconds. And I go, I don't think that's what the discipline of clear thinking is about. The discipline of clear thinking is to take long periods of time, unbroken chunks of time, 30, 60, 90 minutes of time. Peter Drucker says, fast people decisions are usually wrong people decisions. In other words, fast decisions with regard to your family, your career, your money, or any other major issue are usually wrong decisions you make. So what you want to do is sit quietly for 30, 60 minutes, you know, to think. Practice solitude on a regular basis. You want to go into the silence of the moment and spend time there. Because when you practice solitude for more than 30 minutes, you actually are activating what we call your superconscious mind, and you trigger your intuition. People can't trigger their intuition typically in 1 minute, 2 minutes, 5 minutes. It takes 30 minutes, 20, 30 minutes of just really focused and thinking and just tapping into you and your senses, and you'll tap into that intuition. You get it right from the still, small, silent voice within you. And that's the important thing to do, is to get that thinking going. So whenever you practice solitude, you're going to do that. Aristotle once said that wisdom, the ability to make good decisions, is a combination of experience plus reflection. The more time that you take to think about your experiences, the more reflection time you have. So you go for a walk or exercise for 30 to 60 minutes. Very often when you're exercising, you'll get insights or ideas that help you think better and make better decisions. So the other thing that you want to be doing is looking at assumptions that you're making. So you look at assumptions that you're making. And the assumptions that you might be making is, you know, what is it that you're assuming to be true about a situation? What if your assumptions are wrong? So you want to think over those things too, because if you proceed on wrong assumptions and you proceed on the basis of false information, you'll be going in a wrong direction. You could be completely wrong in your current course of action. Be open to doing something completely different. Very critical to look at that. The next discipline I want to talk about is the discipline of daily goal setting. Focus and concentration are essential qualities for success. So when we look at how do I set myself up to focus and have concentration? Well, I do that by isolating what are my goals for the day. What are my goals? What are my clear goals? And they don't even have to be goals for the day. They can be goals for the year or for the 6 months. You know, one of the goals you should sit down with every day is you should say, okay, if you're committed to the ICANN program, you can say, my goal for this month is to find my one ICANN participant. My goal by the end of the year is to have fulfilled my commitment to the ICANN program. So you write down. Your goals aren't daily goals necessarily, but you might have some of your top 10 goals, but you want to list them. Every day you want to be listing your 10 top goals. That includes goals for the day, goals for the month, goals for the year, goals for five. You can even have a five-year goal down. But the top 10 goals, and you want to make sure that you start with those. If you don't know what they are, then you want to ask a question. We go through this in our goal-setting experience that we just did. But to focus on them and get your concentration on them first of every day is crucial. And you can even get a little book, that your spiral notebook that you come out, and you write. Beginning by writing out your top 10 goals in the present form. Remember, we talk about SMART, specific, measurable, attainable, risky, timely, and always in the present tense. Begin each goal with the word I, followed by an action verb. I earn, I am regional director, I am. I complete the ICANN program with 10 signups by the 12 signups by the end of calendar year 2008. Whatever that is, you place that goal down. And you make that statement and you write it down. So write those top 10 goals in the present tense as though they had already achieved them, and you're reporting to the success to somebody else. And every day, guess what? you write those 10 goals down. And pretty soon you start writing them down by memory. I'm going to tell you, when you feed that brain, you guys have all, you know, been exposed to The Secret in some way, shape, or form, whether it's the book or the tapes or the video, whatever it is. But you understand the power of that human mind, and that's why it's important to get those goals down every single day. And it's not just daily goals. It's what is your goal for the month, for the year, for 5 years from now, whatever it is. So make sure you're doing that every day. And you can take the goals that you set in December under our goal-setting experiences that we did and use those and then work on those, because it's going to help you fine-tune it, clarity, and you're investing in it every day. You're investing in your goals every day. And that's the discipline of daily goal-setting. Doesn't mean it's new goals. It just means you're going to be refining them. You're going to be keeping them in front of you. You're going to, because sometimes the people, you know, I used to have people carry cards around with their goals for the year, but I kind of like the idea of writing them down every day. Rewrite your top 10 goals every day, because it forces you almost to fine-tune them and that really get more and more clarity and really get a grip on them, hold them near and dear to your heart. The third discipline he talks about is a discipline of daily time management. And one of the rules that we know of is every minute spent in planning saves 10 minutes in execution. And that's huge. If you get it that time is your only limited asset, then you should be trying to utilize your time as absolutely best as possible. And how do we do that? By planning. Planning saves 10 minutes in execution. The more you plan, the better you use your time and the more you accomplish. One of the quotes I always use, and I use in my pathway class, is I say, you know, failure to plan is planning to fail. Failure to plan is planning to fail. So even when you're not think you're planning, guess what? You're planning to fail. Because if you're not planning, then you're planning to fail. So make sure that you put plans in place. And just how do you do that? You just begin by making a list of everything you want to do. And most of us can get that. And we have daytime. You know, as I told you, we use the Franklin Covey system on the Internet, Lydia and I, and we have a to-do list every day, and that, you know, it's reviewed first thing in the morning, and it just becomes part of who we are. And I'm going to tell you that with that to-do list and with the activities that we have going on, I mean, our lives would be chaos. Some people even said to me, Mary Jo, how did you ship 500 starter kits out of your house in the last 2.5 weeks? And I go, it's only one way, because we have structure. We put together a system. We put together a system how to ship them. We put all of that. We have a shipping chart. We have a billing thing. We have all this stuff is worked out, so it's like a machine. And we fine-tune it. Every time we come up with new ideas or how to do it a little bit better, we implement those. But it's a structure. It's a system. And then we have the to-do list that we work on every day in our business. So it's if without the planning, it would have been a bloody disaster. But we did it, and we can continue doing it, but my preference is DupliVac takes over. So anyway, we're going to continue shipping through January. But the idea is, how do you get all of that done? How do you accomplish all that? You can't unless you plan. So you must be planning, and that's daily time management. And one of the suggestions that he adds in there is he says, use the ABCDE method. And the ABC, oh, I didn't talk about the Pareto principle. Some of you know that one, with that 80-20 rule, which says that 80% of your results come from 20% of your activities. What are they? So you can really focus on the activities that create the greatest results for you. For those in networking, you know it's prospecting, it's sharing. But we don't do a lot of that. We rather spend time on the Internet. That's why the ICANN program doesn't require you ever to go on the Internet. I don't want you slopping around your time on things that aren't going to produce the results for you. I want you out sharing, and I want you supporting other people. Two most critical aspects of networking are those two things, and that's what ICANN's all about. So what you want to do is recognize where your best results come from and make a commitment to dedicate your time to that. The ABCDE method to set priorities looks like this. You set your priority list, your to-do list, and then you rank them. A qualifies for must-do, serious consequences for non-completion. B is should-do, and I don't run my life with the word should in it any time, but that's the Brian Tracy mechanism. B is should-do, mild consequences for non-completion. C would be nice-to-do. D is delegate, in other words, delegate as much as possible. So you want to make sure if it's something you can delegate, you get it delegated. And E is eliminate. we put so many things on our to-do list that we never have to do or are unimportant or whatever that we can eliminate. You know, just like make sure you're really classifying what's most important in your life when you're putting that to-do list together and what needs to get done and what has consequences. And then list them, A, B, C, D, E. Organize them by A1, A2, A3. So once you get the A list, you have A1s, A2s, A3s. So you know what's going to come first. And then you start by doing what? A1 is your first task you do in the morning. First thing in the morning is A1. And you work at it until what? It's 100% complete. The disciplines of time management will spread throughout your entire life. And the pain is a discipline of courage. And courage requires that you make yourself do what you should do, that you deal with your fears rather than avoiding them. The biggest obstacle to success in life is fear of failure, expressing the feeling of what? I can't, I can't, I can't. People saying, I can't. Get that out of your vocabulary. If somebody asks you to do something, you want to say, I can't. You want to say, no, I choose not to do that. You can choose not to do something, but you're choosing not to do it. To say I can't says somehow you're limited, and you aren't limited. You know, courage is a habit. It's developed by practicing courage whenever it's required. And, I promote to you guys a great book out there by Susan Jeffers. She actually has two of them now. But the one I keep promoting for people to read, and I did a review of that one. In fact, it's posted on the manatrain.net training site. So if you weren't part of that call, you might want to go back and listen to it. Or even if you were, maybe it's time to listen again. But the Susan Jeffers book is called Feel the Fear and Do It Anyway. Because the reality is that we're always going to come up against fear, especially when we do something new. Whenever we adopt change in our life, fear is almost inevitable. But it's what you do. So it's not whether fear enters your life that's the issue. It's what do you do? How do you respond to it? Some of us look at fear and we don't even recognize it as fear because it's like we love newness and it's just about, hey, if we're going to create something different, then we have to do something different. 08, new beginning. 2008, the new beginning. It's about changing. It's about doing something different. Let's tackle it and move on and get rid of fear out of our life and just jump in with both feet. So you want to make a habit of confronting fears, and what happens then? Oh, my gosh. You just become more courageous and more courageous and more courageous until fear doesn't faze you. Goal. You want to get fear out of your life, and you want to start using language, I can do it, I can do it, I can do it. It's that little choo-choo train, you know? I can, I can, I can, moving along. I don't know if you've heard that nursery story, but that's what it's about, the little choo-choo train that could. And that's what you want to do. Identify your fears in life, discipline yourself to deal with it, confront it, move through it, and the payoff is incredible. The next discipline, the fifth discipline, is of excellent health habits, and we really don't need to go over that a lot, but I think perhaps somewhat. Most of us are very tied into, you know, healthy habits because that's why we're in Manatech. We love the great supplements. We eat a good diet. If you're not doing that yet, I ask you to examine that. You know, you exemplify health. When you're in the health field, your life needs to exemplify health. The other thing that I think sometimes is lacking with Manatech is the self-discipline around exercise, and that's a crucial aspect of your life. You need to get it part of your life. You need to build it into your life. It needs to be part of your daily life. You need to have cardiovascular, and we have to do not leave out the oh-so-very-important resistance work that needs to be done. I mean, I shook my ever-being when I did all that research around, you know, reversing your biological age. And the greatest thing I learned and the greatest thing that happened to me in doing that DVD that I made for the field was the fact that I learned that without resistance training, I'm going to lose my bone density. I'm going to lose my balance. I'm going to lose life. And even if my bone density stays good because I'm taking Plus and Ambertose, which are great products for that, the problem is that building muscle tissue, building lean tissue, corresponds to all these other issues in your life, your ability to maintain your temperature control in your system, your blood sugar levels, your salt water levels. It is a whole incredible part of the process of maintaining health through cardiovascular, through all your other systems. So it's not just about bone density. It's about health and all your other systems. So I became a huge resistance training person. I do weight training twice a week now and have for 3.5 years, and it's paying dividends. But the important thing is to build healthy habits, and it's a discipline unquestionably. It's one of the things that we break the most. In fact, when I gave my power training last year, I said, what's the number one commitment you break to yourself? The number one commitment that the people on that training said that they break for themselves is about exercise. They break it almost. They go, oh, I'm going to get up and work out. And Brian Tracy says that's the first thing you should do. Every morning, you should. That's the first thing out of the box you should do is do your exercise. Because if you don't do it then, that little voice will talk you out of it 101 different ways. So make sure we get our exercise pattern involved in there. So the next discipline, so we talk about six, the discipline of regular saving and investing. And this goal is one that everybody needs to have, a goal, everyone's goal, is because all of our goals is to achieve financial independence as soon as possible in life. For some of you, 12 months from now, after you've worked this I Can program, you're going to be able to sit back and say, I get this. And you're going to be taking a chunk of that extra cash you're making, and you're going to be able to invest it and save it. And that's your, you know, that's a goal that you've set. But the concept is that no matter where you are in your life pattern, you need to start now. The goal is to get you to 10, 15, 20% of savings of your income throughout your life. But most people are so heavily laden with debt today that the reality is if I can just help them start with 1%. Start at a small amount and discipline yourself to live on the other 99%. And then you can go a month later, maybe try 2%. But just take little bite sizes. This isn't about eating the elephant in one bite. It's about one bite at a time. If we do one bite at a time, we create incredible results. If you guys don't remember the Slight Edge, we did that book review last year. This same month, the month of January, is when we went through the Slight Edge, and it talked about what? It didn't talk about making major differences in your life. It talked about making small little changes in your life, just that slight edge, those little differences and little habits that can totally change your life. And that's what this whole thing about self-discipline in all these areas is about, just making that little difference. So it's not about, you know, some of you go, oh, Mary Jo, putting $30 away this week is really silly. I mean, what good is $30 going to do if I tuck away $30? Today you can't even hardly buy a cup of coffee with $30. I'm going to tell you that $30, when you get in the discipline of putting $30 away a week, that's gigantic for your life. Gigantic. So set up a savings account somewhere and put $30 a week. Every week, write a check. $30, boom. For those of you who tithe, the same thing. You're tithing every week. You don't have to. You don't worry about where the money's coming from. You know you're going to tithe because you are of the posture that everything you have is God's anyway, and you're just giving back to him what's already his. So you write that. I'm telling you, take the same approach with your savings. Say $30 or whatever it is, but start somewhere and just make it a habit. Because that what happens when you do this and you make it a habit is a few months from now it becomes 50 a week and then it becomes 100 a week. And all of a sudden, you look at that bank account in 3 years, it's the slight edge one more time. All of a sudden, the bank account has $40,000 in it, and you go, wow, we did all of that in the last 4 years? You're looking at your wife or your spouse or your significant other, and you're just kind of like going, you can hardly believe it. How did that create itself? Because you made a commitment day one to put a discipline in your life, to put money in it. Other disciplines around financial, of course, are staying out of debt, so avoiding credit cards, paying cash for things, all those kind of things. And I put in there the quote from W. Clement Stone. He said, if you cannot save money, the seeds of greatness are not in you. Whew, that's kind of strong. So start now. We didn't say how much. Remember, 1% and into 2%. But your goal should be to get up to 10 to 15 to 20%. That's where you want to have your goal. But that doesn't mean you have to start there. The seventh discipline is the discipline of hard work. And that's just getting a reputation that you're a hard-working person. The harder you work, the luckier you get. That's what Thomas Jefferson said. Of course, we today know that through leverage and other tools, just like this ICANN program, you can work 6 to 10 hours a week. 12 months from now, you can have that residual income stream so you can do whatever you want to do. So our goal isn't that we're going to be hard-working, crazy people. Our goal, though, is that as we commit ourselves to do work, that we work hard at it. And that's really what the principle here is talking about. If you're going to commit to work, then work. So many people, they talked about the average distractions in the workforce. Those are off the charts. They said the average person wastes 50% of the workday in idle chit-chatting with coworkers, extended coffee breaks and luncheons, personal business calls, reading newspaper, and surfing the Internet. That's a statistic in our country today. That's craziness. work all the time you work. In other words, while you commit yourself to work, if you're a man of tech and you go, okay, Mary Jo, this ICANN program tells me 6 to 10 hours a week. I'm going to give 2 hours a day for 5 days. Monday through Friday, I'm going to work 2 hours on my Manatech business. Great. Well, I want you working those 2 hours. I don't want you on the phone call with Susie talking about church events and this and that. If you give me my 10 hours that I need under my ICANN program, you better work it. So it's the discipline of hard work. When you commit the time to do it, then commit the time and work it. Because if you just commit the time and you end up reading the newspaper or you get a phone call or you watch a little, oh, Oprah's coming on, so you want to get on television. Come on, you guys. There's your failure button. There's your lack of self-discipline. There's your self-gratification. I want to get gratification today. I want to do what I want to do. I don't know if I told you a story about this gal in my pathway class, but she was a regional director when she took my pathway class. And when I did an exercise on competing commitments, she said, you know, Mary Jo, I joined up in Manatech. It was a funny thing. She says, what I wanted was freedom. That's why I want to do network marketing. And I ran this competing commitment exercise, and I found the one thing I'm unwilling to do is do what it takes to get my freedom. I can't. I want my freedom so bad that I'm trying to get it today. If I just work my butt off, well, in this time, then down the road, I have all the freedom I want. And you know what? That's exactly what happened. A year and a half later, she was presidential. She got it. She just needed to bust through the competing commitment. Freedom, not today, not self-gratification today. You work hard while you work so you can have the freedom that you want down the road. Two more disciplines quickly because I know we're running out of time. The eighth discipline is the discipline of continuous learning. To earn more, you must learn more, as Jim Rohn says. Work at least as hard on yourself as you do on your work. What does that mean? Self-development work. Continue to work on yourself. Put self-development work. Read some good books. Listen to good tapes. Go to good seminars. Constantly be coming from beginner's mind. Learn and grow. Learn and grow. Learn and grow. And that's what it's about. What is the most valuable use of my time right now? Whatever your answer is, work on that every hour of every day. What is the most valuable use of my time right now? Ask that question. So you want to, you want to really work at continuous learning all the time. Make sure I emphasize one thing. As you're learning, as you're doing book work, as you're doing seminars, as you're doing videos and all the things that come into your continuous learning, I have numerous of those devices. Don't forget to do your application form. I gave you guys all an application form. It's the Life application form. Because we have tons of people going, I read that book, and I go, well, how did it change your life? And they go, I don't know. Was it a good book? Oh, Mary Jo, it was great. It had all this great stuff. And I go, great, so how did you adopt it in your life? And they go, I don't know. The purpose of reading is to grow. So you've got to apply it in your life. You've got to grab onto the material, and you've got to apply it in your life. So make sure that you're using the life application form that I gave you that helps you ask the question, what did I read? What did I get out? What did I learn from what I read? How does it apply to my life? So you look at life application. Because unless you change and you choose to change, I don't care how many books you read. You can become, a bookworm, but so? How are you changing your life? What are you learning and how are you growing from what you read or what your seminars go to? And the last one, the last discipline is the discipline of persistence. And that's a cool one because it kind of shows you how they kind of wrap together. The greatest test of self-discipline is when you persist in the face of adversity, when you drive yourself to complete your tasks 100%, no matter how you feel. If you look at courage, the first part of courage is to begin and to start and just go after something. In other words, feel the fear and do it anyway. The second part is to endure it, to persist when you feel discouraged and want to quit. And that happens to a lot of Manatech people. But that's part of courage. The persistence is a measure of your belief in yourself and what you are doing. The more you believe in the goodness and rightness of what you are doing, the more you will persist. And that shows you why people that are so tied into the mission of Manatech, they're not gonna abandon ship no matter what happens in Manatech, because they believe in the goodness and rightness of what they're doing. But the more you persist, the more you tend to believe in yourself. Isn't that incredible? The more you persist at something, the more you will tend to believe in yourself and what you are doing. So the principles are reversible. In other words, the more you believe in the goodness and rightness of what you're doing, the more you'll persist. And the more you'll persist, the more you'll attend. So what does this tell you? It says, in order to increase my belief, I just got to keep persisting at something. And that will increase my belief, which is so powerful in creating results. So persistence is actually self-discipline in action. Self-discipline leads to self-esteem, a greater sense of personal power, which leads to greater persistence, which leads to greater self-discipline in an upward spiral. You see how all of these interact. Persistence is the character of man or woman as carbon is to steel. Quote, unquote, Napoleon Hill. You actually make yourself into a better, stronger person by persisting when you feel like quitting. You take complete control over the development of your own character. Eventually, you become unstoppable. So self-discipline, critical, persistence, crucial to get where you want to go. So there you go, people. 9 areas of discipline. Implement them in your life. I even gave you, at the end of the outline, I gave you a checklist. You, okay, what did I do today? Go through the checklist. Start doing that every day of your life, and I guarantee you, you'll start seeing the repercussions of the slight edge in your life. Because many of you read that book last January. You went through the review with me all of January. How did it change your life? I don't know. Only you can look back and say how it changed your life. But here's a mechanism that you can use and a tool that will help you focus on those 9 areas of discipline every day, and now watch how your life has changed. Because all it is
Mary
is an Joe? Application of the slight edge. Yeah, go ahead.
Mary Jo, I've got a question about the life application form. Where
uh-huh.
is that?
I can send it to you. I send it to everybody on the Monday call. What it is it's just a form I use for reading books. I give it to people, and I will send it out to everybody who hasn't gotten it. So look, get Lydia to do that when I get off the call. And
can
all
you
it
also
is
send
– yep.
Go ahead.
All
yeah,
it is
a
form
idea.
That helps you apply what you read in books to your life. And so you start making changes in your life based on what you learn.
Right.
Okay.
Can you also send something of what you do on your daily basis as to your goals on a daily basis, whatever it is that you're using that you were talking about?
You mean
to
your
accomplish
10 goals
daily?
That you kind of you write down your 10 most important goals every day?
Right. Is there
you
a
can
form
just use
for that?
Yeah, I can make one up for you. It's easy. It's at the goal sheet. You can use a yellow piece of paper, but I'll make. Why don't I do this 10-day your 10 most important goals daily form? We'll call it okay, and I'll make one for you and send that out. No problem.
Thanks.
Anything to help you be the best you can be.
Thank you, Mary Jo.
You betcha. Anyone learn anything today?
Yeah,
oh,
and you
wow.
know what? I just finished listening to Brian Tracy's thing on goals, and I love the fact you broke it down like this.
Yeah, isn't that great?
Yeah, thank you, thank
good.
You.
You
Mary Jo, I didn't get the email today, and I'm on your website, and I'm clicking on PDF because I was trying to get the outline, and it's not coming up.
It's not popping up. Let me talk to Lydia, and I will definitely get it to you. I don't
okay.
know why it didn't come to you. Anyone else have a problem with the email for the training call today?
Nope.
Mary Jo, it's on mine in my trash or other mail. Every once in a while,
mail?
They'll send your email there.
Yes,
as well as some of my other Manatech stuff.
Well, it makes me mad that they consider my stuff junk.
Well, I do. Me too,
kidding.
Because some of the time
kidding.
I get it, and some of the time I don't.
I know. It,
it's not just
you.
This is Shirlene in California.
Yeah.
Okay.
You shouldn't if she's in your address book. If she's in your address
Brian
book.
Tracy, was that from one book or from several?
What we did on the self-discipline?
Yeah.
Let me look at my materials and see, because when I took his class on self-discipline, he gave me a bunch of materials in addition to that. You want me to make a list of the materials he sent to me?
Yes, that would be wonderful.
Yeah, you betcha. I'll make a list of those materials and send that out as well, so you can
and
see.
And where would we get that on the email?
Brian, you could probably look at his website. Brian Tracy's got a website, so.
Okay.
Yep, he's got a lot of good materials. But I love this one. It was just a great one because it really points out specific areas that you can really look at and feel that if you do these little things in these specific areas, what a difference. Yeah, you bet.
Mary Jo?
Uh-huh.
On the manifest tickets, I went in there real quick and looked. I already had my other tickets because I didn't know whether we could get them or not. All up for you, and there was no glitches whatsoever. So
wow, isn't that right. great? So just go in and edit your registration. Change
and
it from one to the other, and no problem.
And form of payment just for the balance, and it was
wonderful. And the balance would just be for the reserve seat part of it.
Correct.
Right. There you go. So if you have seats somewhere else and you want to sit in my section on the floor, bango. That's how you change it. Just go in and edit.
Mine, so you guys can get yours now.
There you go. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Okay, people, we got to run, but have a great week. And for those of you involved in ICANN, have a terrific week. Get out there and start, you know, working with your organization. One of the coolest things I'm seeing is tons of people getting back on board in Manotick who left 3 years ago, 5 years ago, 2 years ago, who just gave up because they didn't have a system to run on. They're seeing this and they're going, oh, my gosh, I can do this. And I love it because I love those people. They were a part of my life 3 years ago, 2 years ago, and now guess what? They're coming back on board going, you know what? I can find one person each calendar month for 12 months. I can do that. And I go, you bet you can. Amen.
Mary Jo, will you send out the phone number?
Praise God.
I'll be more than happy. I'll send that out as part of the three other things I send out. I'll also give you guys the phone number for the call tonight, 7 o'clock Central Standard Time. I can call. Yeah.
Great.
Okay. Love you guys.
Thank you.
Absolute. Talk to you soon.
Thanks.
Bye.
Wonderful call. Thanks.